go. Good evening, one and all. I know it's been in and out with people and holidays and stuff like that, and me not being all a ticket, you know, not being 100%, a few bits and pieces, but I am here, and so is my guest. Now, I say so is my guest because this is our third attempt at getting her on the show. We I don't know if you heard, we had one that we kept disappearing and only one part of the mic was working, but everything's working now. But the thing is, as I said last time she was on the show, the last time I saw this lady, it was either she was having a pie thrown in her face. In fact, I think the last time was she was standing in the middle of an entertainment area with about 20 kids round her, putting clothes pegs onto every part of her that they could see, which was painful. Look at it, I can tell you. But she is here now, and I better introduce her, because on the show today, I have the one and only A.N. Atterbury, or as I'm going to call her, Alex. Hi, Alex, how you doing?
Hi, Barry, I'm all right, thanks to you.
Well, the accent's definitely gone down a bit since last time I spoke to you, because When I saw Alex, you better explain, it was at the holiday park where my caravan was, and I went over there in March, I think, March, April, something like that. She was there as one of the entertainment staff at the place, and she, every evening, she had to dress up in some big costume of a hedgehog or all sorts of things. And talk about keep you fit. Do all the dances with the kids, you know, the sort of crazy dances that they have at these holiday parks. I couldn't have done it, no way. But she was there every night doing it, and whatever took, you know, it took by, but she was there. But she's not just this entertainment person, because she is an author as well. So, Alex, what drove you to finally start writing? Were you one of these people, as soon as you could hold a, you know, a coloured pencil, you were writing little stories?
I was, actually. Yeah, I've been writing, like, a lot since primary school and stuff. And then when I was 15, I wrote my first book, which is, it's been published on Amazon. And I was going through, like, a really tough time, to be honest. My grandma was not very well. I started suffering with depression. And honestly, it really helped me through it, you know, putting all those thoughts down onto a piece of paper. And it went from there, and it grew. And people at school were reading this book, and I was like, oh wow, I absolutely, you know, I love it. You know, you need to get this published, and you know, it went from there, and you know, it's been really good. Everyone loves it. I don't know why, but
that's
yeah.
Good. Now, was it obviously a therapy for yourself? Did you sort of take it in a bit of a time for the people at school, or did you sort of wait till you'd finished it all?
Well, a lot of people at school, honestly, they couldn't wait to, they could wait for it at the end. So everyone was like, oh, after I've written like a chapter or something, people would be like, will you send that over to me and I can read it. I'll proofread it for you just so that, you know, just so they could read it, which was really nice as well. It was really humbling that, you know, people really enjoyed it.
Was that Dragonborn? Was that your first one?
No, that was, my first book is called Broken Soul.
Broken Soul, The Forgotten World. Yeah, right, that one, yeah.
Yeah, so, and that's sort of my first one, sort of prequel. It's set 500 years before Dragonborn.
Oh, so just a few years difference.
I mean, just a few.
I mean, I know you're into sort of Harry Potter's and all that sort of stuff, because
absolutely.
Yes, we had quizzes while I was on holiday about Harry Potter. Somebody could answer all the Harry Potter questions, but ask them anything about London, no chance. But that's another story. But yeah, so
I confirm where we were at one point. I didn't know we were in Essex.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing is, you know, writing a story like that, obviously, you know, it is a healing thing as well, and you build up these things in within you, and it's like you just let it go. One of the things we always ask on the show is, you know, I always say that, you know, your characters, no matter how much you plot the story, your characters come along and they, you know, minor people want major roles, and this one leads you down this path and that. Did you find that your characters led you through the story?
Absolutely, yeah. I got a lot of feedback, especially from my boyfriend at the time as well. When he read it, he turned around to me and he went, yeah, the main character, it's definitely you. It's definitely you. And I was like, oh, I didn't mean to. But I don't know. I think it's because I do like writing in first person as well, just because, I feel like if you're feeling something, you know, you can get that across a lot more as if you were writing in third person, if that makes sense.
I mean, I remember somebody saying about mine, you know, is there any of you in the character? And I said, of course there is. I wrote it. I mean, of course there's stuff. It's coming from my memories, imagination, and what have you. But it's the characters take over, literally. I mean, we had a lady on the show. It must be about 4 or 5 years ago now, and she was quite a well-known sort of historical romance sort of writer, and she was telling us about her latest book. It's about her 24th book or something like that, and we were talking about this, you know, and about how the characters lead, and she said, you know, that's exactly what I had, she said, with this last book, the one we were talking about. She said, I tried to kill this character off about 6 times and he wouldn't die, so I had to rewrite the whole book so that the character didn't die. that's telling you.
I genuinely have that problem. I'm no George R. R. Martin. Every time I say no, I'm killing this character off, it never happens.
Never happens.
I can't do it. I have to be really strict with myself.
Right. I mean, what about the protagonist? I mean, a lot of people who find that's the most fun, you know, the building up the nasty character. Did you have that?
Yes, actually, my very first book, and I think this just shows sort of, you know, how your story develops and everything. So obviously, you know, I said I was in a very dark place when I started writing my first book, and my plan was actually to not have her survive at the end, was pretty much have nothing, like, to have the world that they're in and her and everything just completely destroyed. I just wanted it to end with, you know, there being nothing. And obviously, you know, it's, you know, when people read that, they'll find that isn't the case without trying to spoil it too much.
Yeah, of course not. Don't spoil it. Were you planning?
You know,
go ahead.
So, it's just to say, you know, that's just how, you know, things develop and everything when you write it. You know, I'm always changing things and, you know.
Yeah, you're tinkering away and stuff like that. When you sort of finished it, did you think, hey, I can get another couple of stories out of this? You know, I haven't finished.
I mean, to be fair, Broken Soul does end on a cliffhanger anyway. But the thing is, with Dragonborn, I didn't want to write a follow-on to Broken Soul.
Right.
So the reason is, the backstory and the things that happen in Dragonborn 500 years later are actually relevant to what happens after Broken Soul. So all of those blanks, when you're wondering, oh my God, what happens after Broken Soul? Like, why have they ended it there? When you read Dragonborn 500 years later, it fills in all of those blanks very slowly, because a lot of the plot that happens after Broken Soul, where you're like, oh my God, what happened? It's the cause of the event 500 years later, when you know, it's like history repeating itself.
All
of those blanks are filled in.
Were you sort of, how long before you wrote the second book after the first one then?
Oh God. I think I started, it was pretty soon after. I started dabbling in, like, you know, a couple of other stories. I tried to get away from the world for Broken Soul, but the world in Broken Soul is called Utopia, so that's the world that, you know, that I go for. But, you know, I tried to write different stories and just sort of get away from that world, but I just found that, you know, I couldn't. You know what, I loved that world, and because it's set 500 years later, Broken Soul's very linear, if that makes sense. The sort of, you know, it's very simplistic in the way it's told, whereas now I've, you know, this being set so long after that, you know, things have been able to develop, evolve, new races have evolved, the world sort of changed, and, you know, I've been able to evolve it that way. So I've really been able to change Utopia how I wanted it, really.
Yeah. And that the interesting thing is, and you said, you know, ending it on a cliffhanger, because I think that's the thing that makes people turn the pages. If people can't put the book down, turn the pages, then you've hit it. Because when I know when I wrote mine, I the days when we used to have a lunch here. You don't have lunch 2 minutes these days, but you know, and I used to try and do a chapter a week at work, and I'd written mm-hmm. sort of short romance stories, so I was used to short stories, and so I did it like that, and doing it like that, it's like the, you know, the very old Saturday morning pictures, you know, the leave the heroine sort of tied to the railway track, you know, come back next week and see. And that's what makes people want to turn the page. And, you know, looking at what people have written about yours, you know, it's a similar sort of thing. People, you know, love the sort of page turning part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, what's the story without, you know, wanting to read on? There's nothing worse. And honestly, even though I love writing and that, you know, I could write forever, I'm not a big reader. I have to, you know, if there's a book in front of me, I have to be like, oh my God, like, you know, I want to like skip a few pages and see what's going on. Like, yeah, basically, stuff like that, you know. And I always try to do that in my writing. I always try to think, okay, like, you know, I want to end it here because, you know, I want to read on in the next chapter to find out what happens to that specific people. Like with Dragonborn, for example, pretty much the whole story. I'm not going to say the whole story, but mm-hmm. pretty much the whole story is set in one place. And the second one that I'm currently writing now, which I don't want to spoil too much about, mm-hmm. they have now left that place. They've all moved on, and the group that I have, there's a group of 8 of them, I believe, mm-hmm. just off the top of my head. They've all split up into different, you know, into different places now. So, you know, I'm writing a paragraph about this person, paragraph about this person, paragraph about this person, right, next chapter.
Right.
You know, leaving it sort of like that, you know, you want to find out a little bit each time about what happens to everyone until, you know, they're all going to come together and it's going to end in another cliffhanger until I write the finale.
See, I found that very hard to sort of drop and go to another and then go to, you know, go to another mm-hmm. when I had multiple characters in sort of several. I never finished it. My follow-up one, which is still on chapter 72, as it was about 5 years ago. So. But you know, there was like 3 or 4 different stories within the main story, and I had to literally say, okay, this chapter I'm going to write this bit, and then I'm going to do another chapter, and you know, I'm going to wear this person's hat today and this person's hat. I had trouble doing it within the same chapter. Because once I was in there and becoming that character, I had to finish off that part of them. Now, yeah, you can leave that person in a, you know, just being arrested or you know, what have you, you know, and the person has to then go through the next chapter to find out when they're sort of, going to write about it again. But, I mean, it sounds like you sort of, you know, you found your niche pretty easily with this world, etc. Because some people, they just can't find, you know, they try all sorts of different genres and stuff like that. And you sort of seem to hit it straight away.
I mean, I am a fantasy author. Well, you know, I found that out pretty quickly. You know, there was the books that, you know, the stories that I was writing when I was little. My first actual story, but, you know, completely wrote from beginning to end. I remember it was only 64 pages long. I was about 11 years old. And
wow.
That was a fantasy story.
64 pages at 11? That's way too bad.
I know. It seems like nothing now. Now, obviously, I've written bigger books. It seems like nothing, but... and then, you know, when I started writing Broken Soul was actually originally, and this just goes to show, you know, how things develop and everything, it was originally set on Earth, and I wanted it to be set sort of, you know, with, like, Earth, you know, technologies and stuff like that, but I couldn't do it. The more I wrote, the more fantasy aspects started to go into the story without me even realising I was doing it. And when I went back and I proofread, you know, the couple of chapters that I had written, I was like, I need to take all the earthly things out of it and replace it. And obviously that worked in my favour then because, you know,
you can write whatever you want. yeah, you can write whatever you want.
Absolutely.
And nobody can say anything about it because it's your world.
Exactly. I just find that when I was writing about Earth, when Broken Soul was set on Earth, I did find I was very limited with the things that I could do. Whereas when I changed it and I took those things out and I reread it and saw that a lot of it didn't make sense with the way it's heading, I was like, yeah, it can't be set on Earth.
Yeah. Well, the issue I had was, you know, you put things in at the time were, you know, mobile phone, you know, or a mm-hmm. game system or something like that. But then a year later, that's so out of date. You know, it doesn't mean anything. Somebody getting, you know, I think his parents promised him an Xbox. Well, and it's not just an Xbox these days, is it? It's an Xbox ... sort of thing. You know, it's really and the sort of phones and stuff like that. But it's that's the trouble I had. But with this science fantasy, of course, you know, it's your world and you can have whatever you want in it, you know. Which is great.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that's it. Perhaps I've got to move my stories to a my own world. That way nobody can complain. You said you're sort of writing your third one. So is this the follow-on from Dragonborn?
Yes,
you know,
is that
period? Okay.
Yeah, Dragonborn's going to be in three parts. Obviously, the first part is very much getting things going, but there is a lot of action that goes into that. Honestly, if I was being completely biased about it, mm-hmm. I do prefer Dragonborn to Broken Soul. There's just so much more in it. The interactions, I like the characters a lot more. But then, you know, people have come to me and said, you know, I prefer the more emotional, deep story of Broken Soul, whereas Dragonborn, the main character Xander, she's very much trying to find out a lot about, you know, what's going on with her world. There are two countries at war, and that war has been brewing under the surface for about 11 years.
Uh-huh.
And her parents are actually missing. She lives with her grandparents, but there's always been this inkling that something wasn't right with the parents' disappearance. The parents maybe knew something about it. And it's all about, you know, finding base. She finds out why these things are happening, what's happening. And obviously it has a lot to do with what happened 500 years ago in Broken Soul. So all of those blanks are very much filled in that book. And a lot of people have finished that book and said, Oh my God, we need another one. We need to find out what's happening.
Yeah, what's going on? I know, that's the thing people think, you know, they don't realise how long it takes to get it and then publish it and all that sort of stuff. And they think, oh, crikey, I finished this. Where's the next
one? This next one is very much...
Yeah, go
absolutely.
On.
This next one is very much putting those things into action. So, you know, like I say, her and her group of friends, and they're now dispersing, they're now going across the world to actually deal with what they found out. In the first one,
and so the third one is going to be the sort of culmination of everything, is it? The big finale.
Absolutely, and I do have some deaths planned, but whether or not I go ahead. With...
Yeah, you can't have everybody last until the end, you know.
It's so sad.
It's like in Star Trek, you saw somebody with a red top on, you know they were going to die. You know that.
I mean, if they were played by Sean Bean, you definitely knew they were
going to
die.
There you go. So, yeah,
you know what? If it ever gets made into a film, right, I'm having Sean Bean play that character.
There you go. You've got to have him play it. Yeah. The
walking spoiler.
the way you've sort of done with the books and stuff like that. Have you sort of thought about trying to write something else? Because I mean, I know, you know, obviously music and the arts and that sort of stuff is very important to you. You know, seeing your pictures of you in Return to the Forbidden Planet, which I know very well. I think I saw it five.
Show, yes.
It's my favourite. Five times I think I saw it down in. I think I saw it two or three times in Brighton, definitely. I can't remember where else I saw it, but I've definitely seen it about five times. And they had the original Cookie playing in the Brighton one, the one that was in the American version, and he was great. Yeah, his guitar solo still I remember. Yeah, but yeah, I mean, I mean, people talk about musicals and stuff like that. That to me is one of the best, but it's one you don't see that often.
Mm-hmm, absolutely, yeah.
But yes, people, Return to the Forbidden Planet. Look for it.
definitely,
yeah.
Good show.
So you said you sort of said beforehand you're sort of helping with the dramatic society you used to be part of. What are this is the pantomime season, I guess.
Yeah, it is. I always help backstage every single year. I've been in Pelton Musical Society since I was 9 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
But obviously, I know, it's a long time. But, you know, I left just to pursue university, really, and, you know, my job. But I always help every single Christmas with either sound effects or backstage. But what where I did Return to the Forbidden Planet with, that was actually with Spotlight Youth Productions. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah, very proud of that one. We got 5 stars. We got a 5-star review for that.
That's great. That's
I
great.
Careful that into conversation. I'm very proud of that one.
I try and explain to my wife and sort of some of her family over here about pantomimes, and the only thing she's seen is Jim Davidson's adult pantomime.
That is my favourite.
I know. Yes, we just, it just creases me up when they go off and come back on, you know. Says, and do you know what I'm going to tell them? No, you know what I do when I see them again? You come back on with their clothes ground, you coming up and they try and change. No, it's great. I must admit, I do like that. And if I'm feeling down, then and I sort of look at that on YouTube just to cheer me up a bit. But it's a tradition that just, you know, it's just a British tradition, and it doesn't really, I don't think it'd be allowed in America because of, you know, they're a bit prudish over here, to say the least. You know, Puritans came over in 1492, and I think the Puritans are still here, according to the TV and that. Anyway, but that's my view. But you get stuff, you know, like it's to have here and that. But it's tradition, and that's what it's about. But I'm glad you're sort of doing all that. And you're going to go back to you looking for another summer's entertainment?
I'm not allowed to say anything about that.
Okay, I'm not asking
the
then.
Moment.
I'm not asking.
No, I went. I went for the audition last Thursday, and all I can say is yes. I shall be returning, but where
you do not know. I mean, yeah, because I saw Alex at one place, and then just as I was leaving, she left to go to another place. But you know, this is the thing: you get shifted around because talent will out, as I told you at the time. But it's great to see. Anyway, time is whizzing past, Alex, and of course it's midnight where you are back in England, but
it's 10 to 12.
Yeah, what I'm going to do now, Alex, is hand the show over to you so you can tell everybody where people can find out more about you and, of course, your books.
Absolutely. So, hi, everyone. You can find me, if you'd like to give my page a like on Facebook. My name is A.N.Atterbury. That is spelled A-T-T-E-B-E-R-Y. I do actually have a Twitter account under the same name, although I don't use that very much. But you can find both of my books on Amazon. You can search the same name, A.N.Atterbury. And my first book is Broken Soul, The Forgotten World. And my second one is called Dragonborn, The Wizard War. Dragonborn is spelled dragon with B-O-U-R-N-E. Thank you very much.
Well, there you go. Two great books, Alex. And I'm sure when the next one comes out, you come back and tell us, and we'll get you back on the show to talk about your latest one then. So thank you for being on the show. It's great to chat with you.
Thank you very much for having me, Barry. And hello to everyone else in America as well.
Thank you. Well, there you go. My guest today, A.N. Atterbury. A-T-T-E-B-E-R-Y. And A.N. You know, she's all science fantasy authors' initials. I know. You can tell as soon as you see they're called something something and then their last name, they're going to be a science fiction writer. But anyway, A.N. Atterbury, or Alex as I know she is. That's a couple of great books. Now, these are the sort of books that appeal to all ages, and this is what I like. You know, it's every age will fit into this. Broken Soul, The Forgotten World, which is the first one. And then the second one, which is going to be followed by a third, as you said, called Dragonborn. The Wyvern War. W-Y-V-E-R-N. War. Great stuff. Look out for it. Check it on Amazon. You can get them on Amazon. It's on Kindle and stuff as well. So look it for it there. And don't forget, you know, this is stuff you're going to enjoy. So look for it. Well, that's it for now. I'm back tomorrow when I've got a guest called Arnie Freeman tomorrow. I can't tell you anything about him because I haven't done my revision for that show yet. But anyway, I'll be back tomorrow at 7 p.m. Eastern. But until then, as always, we have one thing left to say. Don't forget...